From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
So I went out and sold the car and came home with a $500 Rambler. It was a semi-automatic Rambler because it popped out of second gear and into third automatically. Really, I took my wife for a drive and I said, honey, watch this. And I let off the gas, it goes, and it goes into third. Isn't that cool? She just smiled at me and she said, did you pay extra for this feature?
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Do you ever wonder why some people who have so much seem to be so unhappy? Could it be that they're always striving to get? They've not quite yet discovered the joy of giving? Well, Pastor Wayne has a few well-chosen words he'd like to give you, free of charge, on Words of New Hope. Here he is with a message entitled, Connecting Giving to Life.
How many of you could use just stand a little bit more money in your life? Would you raise your hand? Okay, good. Just checking. Yeah. But how many of you know that it begins with us delighting the Lord by using wisely what He's already given us? Starts there. Yeah, that's where it begins. And so that's what we want to talk about, how to be better stewards without always requiring more and more and more, because just the accumulation of more is not a worthy enough goal for our life. Otherwise, we'll become like Howard Hughes, who had billions, and then they would say to him, how much is enough for you? Because he's always getting more. How much is enough? Howard Hughes said, just a little bit more. Because you see, if that's your whole goal in life, then you will do anything to get more. And we forget what 1 Timothy 6:9 says, but those who wish to get rich quickly will fall into diverse temptations and many a foolish scheme. For the love of money is the root of what? All evil. We want to talk about that today. The love of money is a root of all evil. There's a root that goes into so many areas of our life. And how does God kill that root off so that our hearts are positioned correctly for eternal kinds of values? We want to speak about that. But if you see just the accumulation of more, if that's the driving force of our life, that is in the world and culture that we live in, then you will cut corners, you'll be willing to compromise, take shortcuts, divest yourself of your faith, whatever it might be, to get more and more. And the Bible says you'll do foolish things. You'll fall into diverse temptations and become foolish. You'll be like that Portuguese man that wanted more money and was craving for that so much that he waited at this grade school because he knew that one of the grade school kids' father was really rich. So as soon as the kid came out, he grabbed this kid and he went off to the corner and wrote a ransom note. He said, I demand $1,000 by 5 o'clock delivered right here to the school front. And if the money doesn't come here by 5 o'clock tomorrow, then the price is going to go up $1,000 a day until I get it. And he got that note done, pinned it to the kid and says, go home, take it to your father. You'll do foolish things. Even more foolish is the next day at 5 o'clock, the kid shows up with an envelope with $1,000 in it. He said, my father said to give this to you. And there was a note attached to it. It said, here is your $1,000. But I still cannot believe one Portuguese would do this to another. See, it just make you foolish. But did you know that God says more about how we use money in the Bible than He speaks about heaven and hell? Because He knows that giving is connected to life. It's not just one isolated thing of giving or finances. It's connected as roots, because the love of money is what? The root of all kinds of other evils that you'll see symptomized, and God has to get to the root. So often what God does to check our health, He checks the places how we're stewarding our money, because the Bible says where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. What does your heart follow? Where I put my treasure. So what God does is He checks and sees how I'm using money, because that's really where my heart is. I don't care if I say, oh, this and that and this, my lips are over here. If God's going to do a checkup, He checks my checkbook. Because that's really where it is. And He starts there, because giving is connected to life, and where your treasure is, what? There your heart shall be also. If he wants to really find in reality where our hearts are, he looks there. Now, some of you right now are saying, oh, turn off that dial. That's it. I'm done. No, keep it open. Don't touch that dial. Keep it open and just let the Lord speak to you, because you're going to see it has less to do with money today and a whole lot more to do with life. And the lessons that I've learned from it over the years have just been the most powerful lessons that have changed my heart and continues to do so. But God uses that like a checkup for my life. And I say, Lord, check. Go ahead. I mean, it's like when you go to a doctor. I went in for a physical some time ago, and the doctor starts with pressing, right? He checks this over here, checks here. Is this called adenoids or throat? He looks at your throat, and he checks and pushes here. And then, you know, and then he checks this and checks, and he pushes over here, and he presses some other places that I won't tell you, and has you cough. And when he finds something, you know, he pushes here, and ouch, it hurts a little bit. Really? Oh, what about, ouch, ouch, yeah, it hurts. Ouch, yeah, and he keeps pressing when you tell him it hurts. They have to get a degree to do that. And why does he keep pressing? Because when he presses someplace and it hurts, it's not supposed to hurt when he presses there. And he does a checkup, and that's how God does with us too, doesn't he? He presses on certain areas. How's your thinking? He presses your head. How's it? Does it hurt? A little bit. How's about your mouth? Yeah, a little bit there. How's about your heart? He presses the heart. Presses some other places. You know, he checks. That's how he checks. And then he checks and he presses your wallet. Yeah, got to explain it to the Wahinis when you get home, but we'll just leave it at that. But yeah, so he checks it, and we say, ouch, don't be talking about that. Don't say this. You know, the Lord is saying, why are you so sensitive there, Wayne? Because you're pressing on it. It's not supposed to be sensitive when I press on it. And if it is, then I'm going to keep pressing on it, because that's an area that needs to be resolved. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And one of the reasons why God speaks about this is because he wants to touch our hearts and change our hearts. That's the only reason. Think God needs my money? No. But he wants our hearts, because he loves us that much. So he begins to check. And so we're going to talk about how God takes what we think is the greatest glitter of life, which is the world's riches. And he says, you know what, Wayne? I want to open the windows of heaven and give you something far more valuable, something far more eternal. This perishes. What I give you never will. And so I want to be able to open the windows of heaven, but you'll need to cooperate with something. And that is something that we're going to find in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Let's read it together at the top of our notes. Ready? Go. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Now, at first, I want you to know that there's a word blessing in there. I want you to circle, because at first we need to define this word. Often when anyone talks about this area of finance, we say, oh, blessing. That's just more money. Give me money. Bless me. But I want you to write down a scripture in Acts 3:26, and it says this. It's not in your notes, but let me just quote it for you. It says this. For God has sent his servant Jesus in order to bless you by turning each one of you from your wicked ways. I read that and I thought, that's not a blessing. How's he going to bless me by turning me from my wicked ways and convict me and challenge me? And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, Wayne, there's no greater blessing than that. When you're going in a wrong way and I come in and I change your heart, reposition your heart, change an attitude, change a perspective that would have brought destruction in your future. When I change those ways and habit patterns from the old days and I change you into my image, is there any greater blessing than that? If you're going the wrong way and I just give you a few more bucks, you're still going to go over the edge and die. You're just going to have a few more bucks in your hand when you hit the bottom. Big deal. But God will bless us by turning us from our wicked ways or transforming us into his image. And one of the ways he's going to get to our heart is through checking our giving. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is following. So sometimes God rearranges our concept and understanding of giving, and in doing so, He gets to our hearts. That's what His desire is. He doesn't want our money. Just like from Abraham, He didn't want Isaac when He said to sacrifice your son. He wanted Abraham's heart because his heart had been detached from God and put onto this possession called his inheritance. And God says, your heart has changed. There's times in our life, isn't it true that our heart can change? What starts out really good and sincere starts to change after a few years. So we still have the form of Christianity, but we lose the power thereof. And God is saying, I'm going to have you come in for a spiritual checkup, and I'm going to check certain things so that I can rearrange your heart and keep you on the right pattern, the right path. And so Malachi speaks about the principle of the tithe. Now, is it just giving? No, no. It's the opening of what God is going to be able to be given permission to so He can open up the windows of heaven and deal with us in our hearts. It's the principle of the tithe. I remember right at the beginning when Anna and I were married, we didn't have money to buy a house, and we really wanted to buy our first house, and our children were coming along, So I was just complaining, I can't buy a house, you know, and this and that. And a friend of mine said, Wayne, do you tithe? And I said, what do you mean tithe? He said, well, the word tithe means a tenth, but not just any tenth, the first tenth. Do you do that? I said, well, I give to God once in a while, you know, but I don't always do that. I don't have enough money to tithe. He said, no. Do you tithe? I said, no. He says, you need to do that. I said, I don't have enough money. He says, it really has less to do with money. It has a whole lot more to do with your heart. Believe me, because giving is connected to life. And as you begin to tithe, He begins to redo and undo, if need be, and repair those reasons why you don't have money. And maybe some character issues in your life. You'll be surprised what God will do through this principle of the tithe because it's connected to life. And then he quoted Tolkien. He said, Wayne, don't forget that not everything that is gold glitters. There's something that's things that God will give you from heaven that doesn't look like the world's treasures, but it's so much more eternal. And then I began to understand that when God blesses, it may be to do with character, not just with more glitter. And when I begin to understand the principle of the tithe, Malachi says, would you write in number one? It then signals the glad release of God's provision. It signals a glad release of God's provision. So that when we understand this principle of the tithe, the full measure of God's blessing, not just finance, the full measure begins to be poured into our lives. Let's read Luke 6. Ready? Go. If you give, your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. You see, at first I said, I can't afford it. He said, tithe. So I said, okay, I'm going to start to tithe. I wish I could tell you that as soon as I started tithing, man, money just rolled in. I can't. I gave and I got poor. Yeah, I gave because I just had just enough to tithe. And when I did, I had very little left. I had less than what I had in the beginning. But I want you to know with me, as I begin to share with you what happened, that God was not as interested in my money as He was in my heart and getting to my heart. You see, when I started to tithe, Anna and I had just a little bit left over, and we actually had to go to what we call an envelope system, where we'd have, say, $150, $200 left over as discretionary, because the rest, our utilities or mortgage, was paid by check or rent. And then the rest we put into cash, $10 bills, and we divvied it out into envelopes in our cabinet in the kitchen that would say food, gas, entertainment, and we put money into each envelope. And that's what we used. And so when we were out of shopping money, we'd steal from gas. And when we were out of gas, we'd steal from something else, and we'd just keep going through the envelopes until there was nothing left. And sometimes I'd look at that and say, God, there's nothing left. I don't have any more money. He said, yeah, but you have stuff you can sell. What? He said, yep, you got two extra guitars there. I said, oh, God, I can't do that. He said, sure you can. And you know what? We sold those things, and all of a sudden, I understood that God was going to use the tithe to teach me to reduce my desires for things. I didn't realize that that was in there. See, I had this craving for stuff. And what happened was when God had me tithe, it brought everything down to a place where I had to sell stuff. And when I did, it broke a spirit of craving that I had. That I would see things, I have to have it, I'd have to have this, and I'd have to have that, I gotta buy this. Even if I went into debt, I'd have to have it. I put it on a credit card or this or that. And the Lord said, you gotta stop that. It'll throw your life out of balance. And so when I went and started tithing and he had me go to this envelope system, I didn't have any money left. He said, now start reducing your desires, reduce your cravings. And so I began to reduce that just so I could live. But what God was doing was he was killing off this craving inside of me for more. See, what I didn't realize was there was this root in my life of craving that I would put this in hawk or go into debt for this because I had to have. And you know what God said? This craving, this spirit of craving that you have and desire to get and to buy and have the latest trend of this and the best of that is something inside of you that's going to mess you up in the future. Because after a while, it won't just be for things, it'll be for other things like relationships, the same spirit of craving. In fact, he said, you will begin to violate the 9th and the 10th commandment, which is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. He said, not only will you be coveting things, you'll start to covet relationships that are not right. But this spirit of craving will start to go and branch out beyond just things and into wrong relationships. And it'll be the beginning of what people have as addictions, where they know what they're doing is wrong, but they can't stop themselves. It's wrong. They can be involved in it that moment and say, this is so wrong, but the craving is so great, they have no power over this craving. It's a root that goes way down deep. And what God was saying is, Wayne, through the principle of the tithe, I'm going to kill this root that's going to have symptoms in wrong relationships in the future. And it's almost as if God says, Wayne, I see your future. I'm going to rewind the tape, and I'm going to build a depth of character here because I know what you'll be facing there. And if you don't deal with it here, your heart is going to stray there. So how does he get to my heart? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So he starts with this principle of the tithe, and my life started to change. I died to certain cravings and desires that I had to have, and I learned something called contentment. I could do without. I was amazed that I could, but I could. And we would do a lot without stuff. And this contentment began to come into my life, and I would look around and say, Lord, there's so much that I have. And then he would say, when I needed more money, he'd say, Wayne, you got a car here. They're making pretty big payments on it. Would you sell it? And I said, oh, God, come on. I love this car. It was a nice car. He says, no, you got to sell it. So I went out and sold the car and came home with a $500 Rambler that I bought instead. My wife saw it drive in the driveway. She thought, what is this thing that you got? It was a semi-automatic Rambler because it popped out of second gear and into third automatically. Really, I took my wife for a drive and I said, honey, watch this. And I let off the gas. It goes, boom, boom, and it goes into third. Isn't that cool? She just smiled at me and she said, did you pay extra for this feature? She was not happy with it, But you know what God did was he showed me how it was okay to gear down for a while because then I had more money and I could tithe and I had more discretionary funds. And I thought, oh, Lord, it's okay. You know, another thing he taught me, not only contentment, but he taught me humility. Because you see, a lot of the reasons I wouldn't do that and I couldn't sell stuff off is because I was prideful. I had to be looking good all the time. And the Lord said, Wayne, we got to deal with that. That is going to be, see, money's going to be the root of all kinds of evil. And so he rewinds the tape, and through that type of giving and the principle of the tithe, he began to deal with my pride until I was okay to drive this kind of car, and something inside me was taken care of. Oh, I cannot tell you how giving is connected to life. And it was all right. Now listen very carefully to this. Often God will ask you to give up something that is important to you in order that He might entrust to you something that is important to Him. God will ask you to give up something that's important to you in order that He might entrust to you something that's important to Him. Because we think that this worldly stuff is all that glitters. And the Lord is saying, I want to open up the windows of heaven and give you something so much more lasting and eternal. But we keep going this way. And the Lord says, no, as you begin to tithe, the first thing you're going to do is get rich and wealthy. Not necessarily, but you will get rich in character. Because often God is going to work on our hearts. Then once our hearts are strong, He can add financial prosperity and it won't kill you. Because you know the greatest value is what is sourced in heaven. And so when God gives you that riches that's sourced on the earth, you can make wise utility of it for the purposes of God. Because you know there's a much greater value that you'd rather have in your life. And it's from the windows of heaven that have been opened. And a lot of times that only comes through understanding the principle of the tithe, and God starts to work on our hearts. Also, learned something else. I learned about being able to receive from others. Because you see, there were times Anna and I actually would have to take back groceries because we, isn't that right, honey? Yes. Because she's here taking notes. Check him out on this. But she'd have to take back groceries because we just didn't have the money in our envelopes, just not enough. And we would come home, and this is true, people would leave groceries on our porch. And at first I'd go, hey, I don't need anybody's help. This is a, you know, give me handout kind of thing. Get out of here, I don't need this. And the Lord says, Wayne, you need to learn how to receive. I would never have learned that lesson if it hadn't been for the principle of the tithe. And God began to deal with my heart some wrong roots that were giving wrong symptoms and an ugly monster that would come up here and here in this relationship, that relationship. I'd say, how come? And God began to teach me to be able to receive from others because He said to me, Wayne, there's going to be a time in your life that you're going to have contribution from others' lives and others' ideas and others' partnership. You're not going to be able to do it alone. What I'm going to ask you to do, you've got to have the heart developed for that. Otherwise, you'll come to a point in ministry where you'll say, yeah, it's easier for me to do it myself. No, I can do it better. Nope, I'll do it. And then you develop the spectator kind of thing, and it's just a one-man show. But what God knew is that He would build a church built upon the principle of doing church as a team. And that heart had to be built back here. Otherwise, it's, hey, I can do it better myself. I'll just do it my own way. And God had to teach me how to receive from others that I refused to do so back then. I didn't need anybody's help. I can do it myself. No, I don't need your help. Nope, I can do it. And the Lord says, knock that off. That's a heart issue. And I learned how to receive. All of those lessons that are heart lessons, because giving is connected to life. That's why He speaks about that. It's not just giving. It's the roots that go in and affects everything else of our life that He takes and He goes through this so that He can heal our hearts and give us a future and a hope. You see, we often make three major mistakes in giving. Would you write them in? Number one is letting circumstances rule my giving instead of the Bible. Letting circumstances rule our giving instead of the Bible. I can't do it. Nope, don't have enough money. Can't give. And we allow our giving to be misshapen by circumstances. Let's read Ecclesiastes 11:4. Ready? Go. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. What God is saying is if you're always checking, I don't have enough money here, I don't have enough saved here, therefore I can't give, therefore, and we're letting circumstances dictate our giving rather than the Bible. And God is saying that's a heart issue that needs to change. Because if that happens and it's okayed and tolerated in my giving, what other areas is this root going to come out in? To say, well, I know what God's Word says, however, it's okay to do something different. Do you understand how giving is connected to all kinds of areas of life? And we think it's only in giving, but watch, it's going to be in everything.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Connecting Giving to Life by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.